Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Busy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
The boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt podcast brought to you by William Hill. And European football is back in terms of the Champions League and the Europa League. We have reached the knockout stages with plenty of British interest remaining in both competitions. Going to be taking a look at all four Champions League encounters this week on this edition and the three games in the Europa League that feature British teams. So Arsenal, Celtic and Chelsea, their games getting the preview treatments in the Europa League as well as all four of the Champions League fixtures. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, and joining me in the studio today is Mr. Alex Dunn. How are you, Alex?
I'm all right, Sam. I'm all right. I'm ticking along. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Every single time of year when we get to this point of the year, I almost forget about the Champions League, and then it comes back and I always think, oh, excellent.
yeah, because by now you have separated the wheat from the chaff, haven't you?
Yes, indeed.
And you don't have a meaningless... I mean, like, with all due respect, you don't want to watch a European heavyweight at home to Baal, or... yes, you still get the odd mismatch, but as a whole, you get mouthwatering clashes. And that's what we've got, quite a few of them.
Definitely so. Let's get stuck into some of the action then. We'll spin through these in chronological order, starting on Tuesday evening at Old Trafford with Manchester United taking on Paris Saint-Germain. Manchester United are 13-10. The draw is 12-5. PSG are 2-1. A fair few enhanced odds available on this match here at William Hill. Manchester United scoring both halves. That was 2-1. It's now 5-2. Marcus Rashford and Kylian Mbappe both to score. That was 7-2. It's now 6-1. And Anthony Martial to score first. That was 6-1. It is now 7-1. Loads of different ways to play the match. Manchester United, of course, looking to make it 12 games unbeaten for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and so far he's won 10 of the 11 he's played, with the only slight blot on the copybook, a draw to Burnley. They've obviously been much improved since he's taken over. This could well be their sternest test so far. It probably is. PSG potentially going to be without Edinson Cavani for this match. You may well miss the game with a hip injury. They will be without Neymar as well. So it is a PSG side that are slightly blunted in their attack. Manchester United at home with a feel-good factor very much back. They should be viewing this as a decent time to play PSG.
Yeah. I was reading an article earlier, actually, where the headline was, with Neymar and Cavani out, PSG have only one world-class striker. It's like, it's not the end of the
shame.
World. A lot of teams get by with not even a striker, full stop.
Yeah,
it's a good time to play them in that sense. It's a good time to play them in the fact that Manchester United, as you mentioned, have been really, really good under Solskjaer. Now, Spurs away and Arsenal away in the Cup, they're the only games where you've gone, oh, that's a result that was maybe a little unexpected. I think everything else you'd have expected them to do.
Is it fair to say, though, that the manner of some of those victories has been...
True.
Clearly different to what it was under the old regime.
And for all that I said, they're games you'd expect them to win. You would be well within your rights to think that a Mourinho United would have lost at Leicester, say, when they won 1-0. Or even at St James's Park, perhaps, when they won 2-0. Those kind of performances and displays have been impressive. The way that Paul Pogba's playing at the minute, it's beautiful to watch. And it's odd in that... For years and years and years, Manchester United were hated by the majority of people. I've got, I don't want to say a soft spot for them now, because I definitely don't, but I do like watching them.
Yeah.
They're entertaining to watch. They play with pace, and they've now got all this attacking talent that they've got to try and squeeze into four or five places in the team, and they can't do it. And we saw it against Fulham at the weekend that they had the luxury of starting a game without Rashford, Lingard and Sanchez, and still absolutely battering Fulham. But that's a big thing for me, the fact that Rashford, Lingard, Lindelof, Young played no part against Fulham.
Yep.
They still breezed past them, and they're fresh coming into this. I think United will beat them. I do, certainly in the first leg, and I think probably overall. The issue that I have is that defensively they're looking better, Manchester United, but still not superb. And I can see PSG scoring. But Manu and both teams to score makes plenty of appeal. If you're looking for a correct score, I think 2-1 is the most likely, because they're not going to run away with this. PSG should not be getting battered. And I want to talk about Marcus Rashford, because he's gone from being a bit part player to he's the main man now. And for all that Lukaku started at the weekend, I don't think he's first choice anymore.
Yeah, that was arguably to allow Rashford to be fit and ready for this game, which is, I know, trying to get back into the top four is crucial, but this was the key game over the Fulham game, and the fact that Lukaku started the number two game in terms of priority might suggest that he is, as you say, now the number two striker.
Could you just get the outright betting up for the whole shebang, if you will?
The whole of the football.
The whole of the football. I think Man U, provided they are a fair price, are a good bet to win the Champions League this season.
Do you think?
Yeah. They are riding the crest of a wave. They have enough attacking talent to rotate. And defensively, they're not fantastic. But you can still see them scoring two or three in every game that they play at the minute. And that this might be folly. But you'd expect that with other teams taking a fair chunk out of the market, and if they do get it, as I say, if they get a kind draw, they've not had a calm one to start with here. But
25-1.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
What? Read the prices.
Manchester City 11-4, FC Barcelona 4-1, 6-1 Juventus, 9's Liverpool, 15-2 PSG, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich 11-1, Atletico 20-1, Borussia Dortmund 20-1, United and Spurs 25's 66 bar.
Now, I can understand them being a little bit bigger off the back of the fact they have to play PSG.
Yeah.
I understand that. Liverpool are a dreadful price. Liverpool, I think, will happily sacrifice this competition to win the Premier League.
Yeah.
Man, you've got nothing else to do, really.
Yeah.
I'm saying it now, 25-1 is too big.
Okay.
I think they'll get through against PSG. And then, what price would you make them then? They can't be bigger than 10s off the back of... I think that's a good bet. I really do.
Yeah, because after that game, they would have knocked out PSG, who were a single-figure price.
Yeah,
to,
and you've lost one of Tottenham or Dortmund. Yeah. You know, I think it's...
Okay.
I think 25-1 is too big.
It would be something of poetic. It would be fitting is the word I was looking for, because it would be 20 years since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer won the Champions League as a player for Manchester United.
It'd be a lovely story, wouldn't it?
1999. That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah. I couldn't think of a way to describe it. 20 years since he won it as a player.
Yeah. It's too big at 25. It's not a stick on, but if you've got a few pence lying around in your account,
yes,
and you like to round it off at an even number, because we all do,
yes,
then there's worse things to chuck it at. But in terms of this game, I'm taking Manu and both teams to score. In fact, if you're looking for your odds market, Rashford to score, Manu to win and both teams to score.
Manchester United to win the match and both teams to score is 14-5 for that one. The other game taking place on Tuesday night is Roma against Porto. Roma are 11-10. The draw is 12-5. Porto are 14-5. Both teams to score in the first half is now 4-1 instead of 130. Roma to win both halves was 9-2, now 11-2, and it's 9-1 for Edin Dzeko to score two or more. This was 15-2, and is now out to 9-1 for this Roma-Porto game. And Roma favourites for this one, and Porto have got a pretty dreadful record when they head to Italy. They've played 7 competitive fixtures in Italy against Italian opposition. They've lost 6 of the 7, with their sole win coming back in 96 when they beat AC Milan by 3-2. Edin Dzeko has really been an absolute revelation for Roma in many respects. He was a good player when he was at Manchester City, but I'm not sure too many thought that he'd go to Roma and have the kind of success that he has done. He scored 8 Champions League goals in their last 5 games at home, and he's now only 2 away from becoming Roma's joint record goal scorer in the Champions League with Francesco Totti, of course. So he isn't too far away from breaking that record. No. He probably will do. He only needs 3 more goals to break that record.
Well, he scored goals wherever he's been, and it's an odd one in that he's, in hindsight, possibly was underappreciated at Man City. I think they'd love to have him now as a late right. Plan A isn't working. Let's lob it towards him. But he's more than that, of course. He's not just a target man. He's a good player. They've been really funny recently, Roma. Because at the weekend, I had a small interest in them, admittedly a heavily, well, not heavily odds on, actually. That was the reason I backed them. They weren't heavily odds on.
Against Kiev.
Against Kiev. Yes. They went off a rather backable twos on and won 3-0. But possibly the reason for that is that their recent form has been really up and down. They threw a 3-goal lead away at Atalanta. They got hammered by Fiorentina in the Cup 7-1, and then they drew 1-1 at home to AC Milan, which isn't the worst result, but off the back of two slightly disappointing ones, they had a bit to prove. They won 3-0. Now, they're good at home, Roma. They're a good side, full stop. I'd expect them to beat Porto. It's hard to weigh up Porto because did you see what Benfica did over the weekend?
No.
They won 10-0.
Oh, against Nacional. Yes,
in the league.
Yes, I did. Yeah,
that
yeah,
just
did
goes
see.
To show yeah. the kind of calibre of opposition. You've got the good teams, and they are good teams in Portugal, who are at the top. But then that's pretty much it. The rest of them are bang average. And Porto's away form this season, they've only lost once, and that was at Benfica. But can you quantify that in terms of, well, now they're coming up against Roma, who, if Roma were in the Portuguese league, they'd win it by 20 points every season. That said, Porto away in the Champions League so far this season. They drew at Schalke, they beat Lokomotiv Moscow, they beat Galatasaray. But none of those are leading lights. Roma win for me. Are they odds against? Or are they even?
Yeah, 11 to 10.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm surprised that they're odds against. I'd have them shorter. I'd have them close to 8 to 11, probably 4 to 5. So
yeah, I think I agree.
In that sense, I think they're probably a good bet. I think they will win this. But again, they let a lot of goals in, Roma, at the minute. So again, Roma and both teams to score could be the way to go. Outright, I'd play safe. I'd just go Roma. I think it's a fine bet for Akers if you're having one across the midweek games.
Strange stat line in this game as well. In the Champions League thus far, teams or games involving Porto, I should say, have produced more penalties than any other team involved in the competition. And obviously someone has to top that list, but double the next nearest in the list. There's been 8 penalties in matches involving Porto, 4 for Porto and 4 against Porto.
What, in 6 games?
Yeah, thus far. A penalty to be taken is 7-4 in the match.
Yeah.
Now, that stat might not mean anything because, as I say, somebody has to be at the top of that list. But the fact that,
well, so many,
it's double you know, what everyone else has had.
No, I like it. Worth a look, and worth off the back of that as well, looking at penalty takers for both sides as anytime goal scorers, because you know, that won't be factored in as such. That stat will not have made a difference on the anytime prices.
No.
So worth a look, yeah. Nice stats, Sam Norris.
Yes, it hasn't even made a difference in the prices for a penalty to be awarded because it's the exact same price in the Manchester United PSG match that doesn't have that slightly quirky stat, and it might not mean anything. It may well do, but Roma the selection to win 11-10 in that one. We are going to move on to Wednesday night now, starting at Wembley. Spurs taking on Borussia Dortmund. Spurs 27-20 for this one, 5-2 the draw. Dortmund are in the betting at 21-10. To qualify, Spurs are 11-10. Borussia Dortmund are priced up at 4-6. Spurs with another win at the weekend. They beat Leicester by 3-1 on Sunday, and they're hanging around in the mix for the Premier League title. They're very much the outsiders of three, but they are just about keeping themselves in there at present, and doing it without Harry Kane and Dele Alli as well, which has been impressive. We know the squad depth isn't necessarily there compared to some of their fellow challengers. Obviously, Spurs haven't made a signing for well over a year now. Take on a Borussia Dortmund side who look as though they're going to be capturing the Bundesliga title once again this season. They themselves, however, will have been disappointed over the weekend to throw away a 3-goal lead to Hoffenheim late in the game as well. So Dortmund coming here looking to put that behind them. This is an interesting match, probably the match of the week for me.
Yeah, Dortmund are just a barrel of laughs to watch. They're so fun. And Spurs can be. They can also be pretty dour. I watched their game against Fulham a few weeks ago, and obviously I think that was the first game without Cade, and Ali got injured as well, and they were shocking. But Llorente's sort of warmed up a little bit with a bit of game time. He's no Harry Kane, but he's a pest. Son Heung-min's in the form of his life, and he's such a good player, to the point where you're thinking, what next for him? Is he a guaranteed starter with Kane back in the side? He probably is on a wing. But then where does Eriksen, Ali, and then you've got others? I suppose Lamella and Lucas are content with bench warming,
yes.
I suppose. They're the standout players. But Son is, I think, good enough to play for anyone in the world. which is amazing, because when he signed, I'd watched a fair bit of him at Leverkusen and thought, oh, he's good. But there's a difference between being good and adapting against the Premier League and playing in a few different positions as well. I think he's great. He was quiet against Leicester, actually. Scored late, got booked for diving, which I wasn't too sure about at the time.
Yeah, I think it was one of those grey areas where it wasn't a foul, but it wasn't necessarily a dive either.
I thought, stick on pen. Mm. And when he blew and signalled, I thought, he's given a free kick. Mm. It's like, it was in the box. And I was like, oh no, he's gone against. Yeah, I love Son, and I think he's obviously a fair bet to score here. But these two play each other every other season.
Yes.
It's almost like they play each other more in this than some Premier League sides do.
I had to double check that there hadn't been some sort of anomaly and these two had played each other in the group and then had somehow been drawn against each other in knockouts, yeah. Which isn't possible. But as you say, such as the amount of times they played Dortmund, I thought they must have already played them this year. They're always playing them.
And I hope you've seen, or listeners have seen, the footage that was going around of Jadon Sancho's performance at the weekend. I mean, he looks one hell of a player. This could be 3-3 without you even being remotely surprised. It could also be 1-0 and Tottenham out-tactic Dortmund. It's a both teams banker, as far as I'm concerned. Again, a your odds market if you're looking to request stuff. Son to score, both teams to score.
4-6 BTCS, yes, is very all right, that as well.
It's ludicrous,
yes,
I think.
I think that's very, very fair.
I think it is an absolute stick-on, personally. So, at that price, I'd have to make that the bet, 4-6, whether you're having a single or putting it with other things. It has to be the bet. If pushed on and outright, I don't think Tottenham lose. So we'll go Tottenham and both teams to score as a sporting chance at a slightly bigger price. But both teams to score full stop is the bet.
Yeah, it's 3-1 that Spurs win and both teams score in the match. If you want to play them on the double chance, that is 4-11. Or if you want to take a slightly bigger price, draw no bet is 8-13. Of course, if Spurs were to draw, you'd get your money back in that scenario.
Again, a little bit like Liverpool, will Dortmund sacrifice a Champions League for winning the Bundesliga? Yes. They may not have to.
Yeah.
You can do it on both fronts. But they're 5 points clear as we record this from Bayern Dortmund. And they'll be eager not to let that slip. Not that they're going to rest players, etc., etc., you know. But mindset-wise, they want to win the Bundesliga. The Champions League is a nice distraction, but one that I think comes second in their minds. Spurs, I suppose you could say similar things, but Spurs don't have the players right now to rotate, so they're just going to have to do what they can.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. On to the other game then on Wednesday night in the Champions League. And this is Ajax taking on Real Madrid. It's 11-4 about Ajax. The draw is 16-5. Real Madrid in the betting at 10-11. Some enhanced odds on this one. Both teams to score in the first half is now 3-1 instead of 5-2. Real Madrid to win both halves was 4-1, now 5-1. And Karim Benzema and Klaas-Jan Huntelaar both to score was 9-2, and that is now 6-1. Been a funny old year for Real Madrid, really. It started disastrously. Lopetegui didn't last long at all. And at one point, there were pretty serious concerns that they might not even finish top four, never mind be challenging for the title. They have turned it around in recent times. Real Madrid, they're maybe not in the mix for winning La Liga this year, but certainly things are looking much better now than they were in the early part of the season. Ajax are in a similar position in the Eredivisie, saying that they're 5 points behind PSV and they've played a game more. In years gone by, 10-11 would have knocked your eye out here about Real Madrid away from home against Ajax, a team that they should be beating, really. A few months ago, you wouldn't have even wanted to back them at that price. But now I think I've gone full circle with it. And I think I'm back to thinking, 10-11 is a good price now.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
Ajax just don't scare the big boys. They're a really nice side to watch. They play attacking football and they regularly bowl teams over in the Eredivisie. But this is a completely different kettle of fish. And do you remember a little earlier in the podcast, my subtle after timing, having backed Roma earlier in the week?
I didn't want to mention that you after timed it a 1-2 chance.
Yeah.
But
all right, well,
I remember it.
I'll follow that up with the fact that the profit that I gained from that bet was swiftly lost on Saturday evening. Ajax lost away at Heracles.
Yes.
And I got involved in play.
Right.
Ajax were 5-0 before the match. Okay. I got involved when they hit even money. Nothing happened. Finished 1-0. Ajax have now had two consecutive away losses in the league. They got hammered by Feyenoord 6-2. And then in between those, they beat Venlo 6-0 at home. They're that kind of side. They're much better than most teams. And if they are going to slip up, it'll be away from home. In terms of the Champions League, I don't see anything that Ajax have that will trouble Real Madrid. That's not to say they can't score, because Real like to let goals in, seemingly. We saw that against Atleti. Good result as that was. They still conceded in it. I think they'll probably concede here. So, quite simple. Real are a good price at 10 to 11.
Yep.
But Real and both teams, if you're looking for that bit more. Feels like the bet that I've put up in every game here, but I do think we'll see a fair few goals. And I know that the first leg of knockout ties can be a little cagey, but nevertheless, Real aren't cagey, Ajax aren't. This game sure as hell won't be.
And in this instance, it would be pretty pointless for Ajax to play cagey, because what would their thinking be there? We try and keep it tight at home, and then we go to the Bernabeu to win the tie. That isn't, if they are going to win the tie, they win it here.
Exactly.
So,
again, if you're looking for a good bet on Wednesday night, I'd say the both teams to score double is pretty nice.
4-9 in the Ajax Real Madrid game, that both teams get on the score sheet, and it's obviously 4-6 in the Spurs Dortmund game. So that double is paying just shy of 6-4 if you're getting involved across the matches on Wednesday night. We'll turn our attention toward the Europa League now on Thursday. We've still got three British sides in action in the Europa League, and we start with the early kickoff between Bartek Borisov and Arsenal. This is a 5-6 kickoff, which I still haven't really got used to this Europa League season, kicking off at 5-6. Partey is 6-1. The draw is 7-2. Arsenal are in the betting at 4-9. 4-9 is a fair reflection of Arsenal's chances here, really. We actually know a fair bit about Partey, given that they seem to be a magnet for English opposition. Whether they're in the Champions League or the Europa League, they're regularly involved against English teams. So we have had a chance to see plenty of them. Unai Emery has, to be fair, blooded a fair few youngsters in this competition. But I wonder whether it'll be a slightly stronger side tonight, because a lot of those youngsters played in games that were bordering on dead rubbers, because Arsenal actually got the job done in the group stages pretty early on. Mm. So they had a couple of match days to spare after that. Team selection will be interesting, but they should win.
Yeah. They played each other last season in the group stages, and Arsenal won 6-0 at home and 4-2 away. And it was a pretty inexperienced side away from home. And granted, Wenger was in charge here. This wasn't Emery. It was Ospina, Nelson, Holding, Mertesacker, Mustafi and Maitland-Niles, Willock and Elneny, Walcott, Wilshere, Giroud. Now, obviously, some of those aren't there anymore. But the bench was then chock full of kids. I think it'll be a similar story, similar outcome here. I think Arsenal win. They have been really, ironically, really poor away from home in the league since they last won a Europa League game away from home.
Right,
you would think, right, we're through in the Europa League. Now we've actually got a few less games. You know, we can play with fully rested players. And they have had some nasty away games in that time, you know, Man City and Liverpool and Man United. But they've also lost at Southampton. They also lost at West Ham. They beat Huddersfield at the weekend, granted, but that was their first win away from home in the Premier League since they won at Vorskla Poltava in the Europa League. So away from home, they do leave themselves open, and they tend to concede in any game away from home anyway. So I could probably give Partey a goal here, but that's about all. They should be winning Arsenal, but what I'd say is, if you are going to back them, I'd wait until team news comes out, because I think the price will drift off the back of that.
Okay.
I can't see them going really strong. I think worst case scenario is they stay the same price. I don't think they get shorter anyway. I suppose they're priced up on expecting maybe not Aubameyang to start, and maybe changing the goalkeeper and a couple of midfielders. I think you could see a bit more than that change-wise. But they should have way too much. I mean, Arsenal are a good team. They still are. And we're talking about rotating. Well, what's that mean at the minute? Probably means Mesut Ozil plays. That's no bad thing.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, Arsenal for me. This was probably the game I had the least viewing of all the ones we've talked about.
Yep.
So it's short. 4-9, is it?
It's 4-9, yeah.
Short, but ACA worthy.
Okay, that's Arsenal's game. On to the later games on Thursday, which involve British sides, starting with the 8 o'clock kickoff between Malmo and Chelsea. Malmo are 15-2. The draw is 19-5. Chelsea are 4-11 with Maurizio Sarri's job potentially in jeopardy now after the drubbing the weekend. They were thumped 6-0, of course, by Manchester City. And that came, of course, just a couple of weeks after they were tonked 4-0 by Bournemouth. Now, they did beat Huddersfield in between those, winning by 5-0. And they beat Sheffield Wednesday before that Bournemouth defeat as well by 3-0. So, strong victories against Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield at home, but heavy defeats to Bournemouth and Manchester City away. It's fair to say Malmo, ability-wise, probably getting closer towards a Huddersfield than they are a Manchester City. But the thing with playing Swedish teams at this side of the year is it's the Swedish off-season. No competitive fixture since a couple of weeks before Christmas for Malmo. They've been playing club friendlies in the run-up to this game, but the Allsvenskan doesn't get underway for a little while longer. So even though they have been playing those club friendlies, they could come into this one a little bit undercooked. And I don't think Chelsea are going to be taking this lightly, because I think they'll want to get back to winning ways with a bit of a statement win, really, after a couple of heavy defeats recently.
Yeah, and they do have quite a big enough squad anyway. There's players that will come in, so you'd expect Loftus-Cheek will start here, Emerson will start, Ampadu will start, and they're good players. But I couldn't back Chelsea at that price off the back of what we saw over the weekend. In fact, what we've seen so far in 2019 away from home, they're yet to score on the road this calendar year.
Right, okay.
They lost 1-0 at Spurs in the Cup, and then 2-0 at Arsenal, 4-0 at Bournemouth, 6-0 at Man City. In fact, if you look at their games recently in all competitions, we've got 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0. Don't think we're going to see a 7-0 here. But they look a bit rotten, almost. Sarri's refusal to shift Jorginho is going to cost him the job.
And play the world's best, or potentially one of the world's best holding midfielders in his position.
Jorginho, when he came in, was revolutionary.
He was unbelievable the first few weeks, wasn't he? And he was shattering passing records and all sorts.
But then all of a sudden, it took Mauricio Pochettino to go, right, Dele Alli, you stand near him. And everyone else has gone, oh, we've got players who can stand near him as well.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, his impact completely goes. Chelsea can't control a game. And defensively, with Luiz and Rudiger and Alonso and Azpilicueta's not been at his best either, all of a sudden, they look so fragile. They're there to be got at. You can't back them at threes on? 130 on?
Yeah, 4-11, so yeah.
Right, yeah. No chance. It's a bad price. They could win this 4-0. You wouldn't be surprised. I'd almost rather back them to win extravagantly on a handicap than put them in an acca at that price. But I've got to have Malmo double chance here. I just cannot. That price stinks. It's stinking this studio out, Sam Norris.
It does, but I worry about a team who aren't fully up to the rigours of competitive football at the moment. Their season doesn't start until April.
I thought you were talking about Chelsea.
Play competitively. No, well, yeah, you could argue. No, Malmo, their season doesn't start till April, and they haven't played competitively since before Christmas.
Yeah, well, they've had a lot of time to prepare for this.
Yeah,
they were given a tactics portfolio about 2 months ago. It said, stand on Jorginho and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
The blessing may be for Chelsea that Jorginho probably won't play here. Probably be rested.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
But I just can't have them at that price.
9-4 double chance.
Yeah, again, not a strong fancy, but it's more that I don't want to be with Chelsea than I want to be with Malmo.
Okay.
You cannot have watched that game, and Man City and Malmo are worlds apart, but you cannot have watched that game and gone, Chelsea, you've got bet there at massive odds on.
Yeah.
No chance. Same if you watch them at Bournemouth. To a point, if you watch them at Arsenal as well, they haven't scored away from home in this calendar year, and you're backing them to... It's such a short price. It's not for me, anyway.
Double chance in that match for Malmo, or the draw then available at 9-4. We're going to wrap up this week at Celtic Park with Celtic welcoming Valencia. 5-2 for Celtic, 9-4 for the draw. Valencia are our shade favourites here at 23-20. For this game, Celtic look as though they are now once again going to be marching towards yet another Scottish Premiership title. It looked for a while as though there was maybe going to be a little bit of a title race developing there with Rangers, Aberdeen and even Kilmarnock went well for a long time. But Celtic are very much back in the driving seat now. They're 6 points clear domestically. Valencia are having a season that we would be accustomed to with Valencia in years gone by, because of course they went off the boil quite badly for a few years. But they're back in and around the top eight, in and around the fight for European places once again next year. I think this will be quite a good game.
I do too. And I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What price would you have Valencia? What are they, 11 to 10?
23 to 20.
Yeah.
I would have had them a little bit bigger. Okay. I'd have been closer to 6 to 4 than I would have been even money.
I agree. Well done, Sam Norris.
Did I get it right?
You get 5 points. 5 Alex Dunn points.
What can Alex Dunn points be used for?
If you get 25, you get a firm handshake. 50, yeah, we don't need to go into that. Right.
I get 50 points, I don't have to have the handshake.
Yes, correct.
Okay,
yes.
Grand.
Celtic, as you mentioned, all of a sudden things are looking comfortable after they didn't.
Yes.
They lost to Rangers and then they have won 7 in a row without conceding a goal. They're yet to concede a goal this calendar year. And yes, they're not playing much, but they played St Johnstone 3 times in that spell, by the way. What have they done to deserve that? But I'm quite content with Celtic's form coming into this. Valencia are good, as you've mentioned. The Spanish League is better than the Scottish League. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know here. But I'm with you. I just thought, again, if Celtic are going to do anything here, then it'll be at home. They know they've got to do something here, because the chances of them going there and winning are pretty slim. I can see them winning this.
Yeah, I can as well.
I don't think they lose again. So the double chance or the draw no bet again comes into play. I just don't...
7-10 double chance and 6-4 draw no bet.
Yeah, I'd probably go draw no bet.
Would you?
Yeah, just. And I'd normally quite like double chance, but just it seems a little short, 7-10. But of course, it's it's derived from the Valencia price.
Yes.
I can't control that. I just think Celtic at home, they're a very, very strong side at home. And we saw earlier on in the competition, they beat Rosenborg at home. They beat Red Bull Leipzig at home. They lost to Salzburg. Yes, Valencia are a step up from those sides, but not a huge step up from Salzburg and Leipzig, really.
Yeah, definitely not.
And I just think Celtic, this is now, their exit will be in this basket. Everything else is sort of taking care of itself. It's a massive game for them. I don't think they'll lose.
Okay. A couple of ways that you could play that one then. The double chance is 7-10 and the draw no bet is 6-4. Alex, thank you very much for that. Do you have a favoured bet of the midweek action?
Short, but the 4-6 on BTS Tottenham Dortmund is silly.
Yes.
And that would probably be the best bet. Still something... Pro Malmo is nagging away at me.
Okay.
But best bet is definitely Tottenham Dortmund BTS. It's short, but
yes.
I don't think you'll be sweating on it.
Okay. Good stuff. Thank you very much for that. The punt will return on Thursday. Dave Kellner back in the chair ahead of this FA Cup weekend. Do check out all the betting with us here at William Hill in the meantime. All of those games that we've mentioned there are Your Odds matches, so you can tweet at William Hill with the hashtag Your Odds, and our traders will try their very best to price up your fancies ahead of the return of both the Champions League and the Europa League midweek. Mr. Dunn, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll speak again soon.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.